Joining us now in our studios is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
Happy winter walk.
Happy winter walk day. It's a nice brisk day for winter walk so far.
It is. You know, we're going to get some snow tonight, but it doesn't look like that's going to start until late. So you'll have actually pretty good weather.
And it should be warmer by the time we get to winter walk. Is that the forecast?
28.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you have it. Enjoy.
Yes.
Let's talk about
a beautiful night to be downtown then.
Let's talk about what's going on in the Rice County courts system. Why don't we start off with some cases? You have some higher profile cases that are coming up through the office.
Right. Of course, we've got our Murder One case, which is the Morristown murder case where fellow shot his roommate with a shotgun twice. That's a first-degree murder case. That one is currently out pending we're waiting for a psychiatric evaluation for that to move forward. So there'll probably be a hearing on that sometime in, I think it's calendared for the end of January is the next scheduled hearing on that one. We've got our Murder 2 case, which is the fellow who punched the gentleman in the face in Dundas until he died, injured him badly enough that he died within a week or so.
And that was the road rage case.
Road rage case, 79-year-old man on his way to a dialysis appointment.
Wow.
And he got punched in the face several times and died about 10 days later.
Wow.
And so that's still out there. All those cases, of course, are no longer my function. They've all been reassigned to my successor, and so we'll see where he goes with those. We still have the St. Olaf cases out there, the attempted murder case where the young man stabbed and used a knife and a hammer to attack an ex-girlfriend up at a dorm in St. Olaf, and so that case is still pending. And so we'll see what the resolutions are with those cases. Those are all really, I think, important, big deal cases. And I don't, you know, since I didn't win the election, I'm not weighing in on what should or will happen with them. But I think they're interesting cases, and it'll be interesting to see how they get resolved or when they go to trial.
Well, as you mentioned, come January, you will be leaving office. So let's spend the rest of the time we have here talking about some generalities that will be going on. I want to talk about the state legislature. It's a little bit different look this year. You know, we've redistricted and we've had elections, and they've got a lot of things going on at the legislature. It shouldn't be a lively year from the standpoint of just the justice system, the court system and such. Are they looking at any changes, any new laws, anything that would interest or affect you?
Well, I think the way they would affect the justice system generally, you know, there's always the possibility the legislature will now legalize marijuana. And as you and I have talked in the past, there's a question of what happens with, for example, driving while impaired. If it's legal now to possess marijuana and you smoke marijuana and drive, is that going to be impaired driving, or will the law enforcement have to establish that the person is significantly impaired? That's one of the questions I think that the legislature should grapple with as they deal with whether or not they want to legalize marijuana. But I think with a more unified legislature and governor's office, certainly many people in the Senate and House and the administration have argued for legalizing marijuana, and a number of nearby states have, including South Dakota. So it certainly seems possible that legalizing marijuana could happen in the next year. You and I have talked in the past about attempts at the legislature to curb or limit prosecutorial discretion, prosecutorial immunity, and qualified immunity for police officers. I don't think the prosecutorial discretion part would come back up again. You remember there was a bill in the Senate last year that prosecutors could be prosecuted for refusing to charge a case where there's probable cause, which is sort of raises the question of who was supposed to be the person doing the prosecuting of the prosecutor. I think there may well be. So I don't think prosecutorial discretion will be up for debate this year, but mm-hmm. prosecutorial immunity and immunity of police officers from prosecution or civil liability may well come back up before this legislature and might have a better chance of success going forward than it's had in the last couple of years.
And what would that look like? How would it, if they do pass some laws regarding that, what would it look like? Would police be just automatically immune to being charged crimes while on duty? Or?
Well, I think it would be more the other way that, there's a, what we call qualified immunity, that if you can't establish that the police officer was intending to harm someone, or if they weren't acting within their appropriate discretion, if they were defending themselves, those are natural defenses. And then there's the qualified immunity from civil liability. I know that many members of the DFL have talked about requiring police officers to have their own insurance. And that would be the question of, who's going to do that job if they have to buy their own liability insurance and not be defended by their, by their employer like most other people are. So I think so that qualified immunity piece where most crimes, the police officers are entitled to a good faith presumption. If that goes away, or if there is a lesser burden to either prosecute or civilly sue a police officer or a police department for the conduct of a police officer in their normal course of business, I think that would radically change the way policing works and how police officers make those decisions. I don't think that's a great idea, but I know a number of members of the legislature have talked about that's something they would like to see. So that's one of the things I would keep an eye on. And also the same thing for prosecutorial immunity, that if prosecutors aren't immune for making their decisions in who they prosecute and who they don't prosecute, how do they keep doing those jobs? How can they tolerate that work if they can be sued civilly for every decision that they make?
Once again, John Possum is with us. Let's talk about, I want to go back to the legalization of marijuana and ask you if you would know the answer to this, is that a lot of states, I think, I don't know how many states now, do have some form of legalized marijuana. And the concerns that I've heard from the legislature last year were exactly as you mentioned. How do you, when a person's driving and driving impaired, how you test them? What makes up a crime? At what level? Is there an acceptable level or not acceptable level? And are there inventions out there, something akin to a breathalyzer, that are coming up to the market? Have you heard, as the other states legalize that and press through those problems, are we seeing some answers before we do that? Do we have some answers in those categories?
And as far as I know, the answer is that it's not, it's just not clear. I know that the statistics from Colorado, which legalized marijuana a couple of years ago, are that traffic offenses are up and impaired traffic offenses are up. But here's the issue, right? 40 years ago, we didn't have a per se limit in DWIs, right? We had to prove impairment. So some people could drink quite a bit and they go to trial and say, I wasn't impaired and there wasn't enough evidence to overcome or prove beyond reasonable doubt that person was impaired, and then we would lose those trials. So the legislature came up with this per se limit. First it was 0.12, then 0.10, now it's 0.08%. And if your blood alcohol level is at that level and you're in control of a car, that's that's driving under the influence. That's drunk driving in Minnesota. As it is right now, if you are smoking marijuana and you the police officer can establish that you're impaired and they get a search warrant for your blood and they take the blood test and it shows a level of THC, that's enough evidence to show that you're driving while impaired, because smoking marijuana is or having possessing marijuana in your blood is and driving is a crime. But if marijuana is now legalized, then that's not a crime. So now we're back to where we were 40 years ago in terms of establishing impairment. And were you too impaired to drive, or just a little impaired, or just kind of impaired, or was the THC from smoking recently, or was it from smoking some other time? Or so it just creates a lot of questions, and it creates a sort of vacuum in the law. And I don't know that there's a good resolution for that, because there's no, you know, how do you establish what that per se limit is? They said in Minnesota, we went from 0.12 to 0.10 to 0.08 as the science progressed. And so the question is, will there be something in the legislature to determine what a per se limit is for the appropriate amount of THC mm-hmm. in your system while you're driving, or is it any?
You know, that's interesting. And what I find interesting is that, you know, we have a free market here. There's no company that's come out with the equivalent of a breathalyzer for marijuana yet. Are they not working on that? Because there's money in that. There's money to be made out there. And I'm surprised the free market hasn't pushed along some of the solutions, just driven by profit.
Well, and I don't know that your breath tells, you know, could be used to determine how much THC is in mm-hmm. your blood at that point anyway. But I think that would be the question: is how do you determine what's mm-hmm. the appropriate amount, what's the safe amount, and then how do you test for it? And so I think those are two kind of interrelated questions. Mm-hmm. And is the breathalyzer adequate for that, or is it is there something else that they would have to use to determine? And as you said, I think we've had now several years with Washington State and Oregon and mm-hmm. and now even South Dakota for a couple of years with legalized marijuana. There certainly could be approaches that people can follow, but I don't know what they are at the moment.
All right. Once again, John Fossum is with us. One other thing that's going to continue on, but let's get kind of an update on where we're at right now. We had Sheriff Thomas in just a couple of weeks ago to talk about the new jail. He kind of gave us a rundown and said that things are looking good. They're kind of ahead of schedule right now. Where are we at? What is your office been involved? I know you have been involved in the land transfers and the legal aspects of all that, but is everything look like it's smooth sailing as we head into 2023?
Well, and I'd hate to curse it by saying that. So I think that at the moment, everything seems to be on track. We have a construction manager who's overseeing a lot of the contract work and in enforcing a lot of the contracts. So we have you know, actually groups that are doing a lot of the work that so to my knowledge everything is in order and mm-hmm. and going along well, and that our construction manager is doing a good job of overseeing stuff and working with the contractors and scheduling everything so that things are going well. And when I drive by there, it looks like, you know, they're making progress. Things are moving forward, and it's great to see that that being accomplished. You know, we've also been removing some of the buildings that in Faribault that were originally purchased to make room for a jail, but you know, we're no longer really rehabable, and so mm-hmm. there's been a lot going on down in Faribault in terms of dealing with those buildings and looking at what this new jail is. So I think the sheriff's been paying much closer attention to it than I have, because it's been going so well. I haven't had to spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking forward to getting us some new digs. All right. John, we want to thank you for coming in not only this morning, but for many years now and talking with us. We certainly appreciate that. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward into 2023 with some new adventures. And once again, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's been great to come talk to you for the last 8 years, and maybe we'll talk to you again some other time.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you around. If not, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
John Fossum, Rice County Attorney. You're listening to 95.1 FM at AM 1080, KYMN Northfield. It's 7:37.